الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد دعاته منشن رحمه الله تعالى باب ما جاء في إفشاء السر The chapter with regards to that which has come from spreading the secrets. From spreading the secrets. The people of knowledge, they mentioned with regards to this asir, amana. Asirru amanatun. That a secret is considered a trust. Someone who informs another person of something private and personal, then this is a trust that they have been entrusted with. And the trust, they must be preserved, they must be maintained, and thus they must be honored and respected. And they must be honored and respected, and they must not be betrayed. And they must not be betrayed. So asirru amana. So the secret is a trust. عكسو الأمانة الخيانة والعياذ بالله. And the opposite of الأمانة and fulfilling the trust and being reliable and trustworthy and being dutiful and fulfilling one's duty properly is to betray, الخيانة, betrayal and treachery, to act in betrayal and to act in treachery. So since the secret and the private affairs of individuals, this is considered a trust, those who spread them without permission, they violate that trust. And in reality, they have fallen into al-khiyana, waliyadhu billah. They have fallen into treachery and betrayal. And this is something that is major. Babu ma ja'a fi ifsha asir, the chapter with regards to that which has come about spreading secrets in people's private and personal information. Meaning the chapter with regards to the clarification of the danger of that. And the severity of that sin, and that is from the major sins, and it's nothing minor. And that is from the major sins, and it is nothing minor. And according to the circumstance and situation and the people involved, yani it will determine the severity of that affair. And some secrets are more severe than others. Yani spreading them and betraying them, and betrayal in any circumstance, in any case, is a lowly and a foul trait. And it's not from the traits of the believers. Al-khiyana, مصفات المنافقين والكفار. الخيانة, betrayal and treachery. This is from the traits of the hypocrites and the traits of the disbelievers. It's not from the traits of the believers. It's not from the traits of a Muslim. Rather, from the traits of a Muslim is that he is trustworthy and he is reliable and he is dutiful and he fulfills the trust whenever it is given to him. And he does his best to maintain that and to preserve that out of fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, this is from the beauty of Al-Islam and the beautiful teachings and education and cultivation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's been reported authentically in Sunan Abi Dawud that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَدِّي الْأَمَانَةَ لِمَنْ اتَّمَنَكَ وَلَا تُخُلْ مَنْ خَانَكَ. That you must perform the trust to those who entrust you, and you must never betray those who betray you. So even if someone were to betray another person, it's not allowed for that person to betray them back. It's not if someone acts treacherously to an individual, it's not allowed to recompense them with treachery. It's not allowed to betray them and recompense in the likes like this. A believer, he does not act with khiyana. He does not act with treachery. He does not act with betrayal. He will never violate contracts and trust, not even with the enemy. Not even with the enemy. For this reason, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, from the Atba' al-Tabi'in, he died in the year 187. He said, لَا يَكُونُ الرَّجُلُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ حَتَّى يَأْمَنَهُ عَدُوهُ. That a man, he will never be from the righteous and the pious truthfully until his enemy will be safe from him. Till his enemy will be safe from him. And he meaning that, no doubt enemies, they will go at each other and one will take out the other and the likes like this in war. And this is something that is known. But as for a righteous and a pious Muslim and a believer, he will never betray the trust and he will never violate the contracts. So even the enemy, he will feel safe from that. So even one of our enemies, if we make contracts with them, and we make covenants with them, that we will abide by certain terms and conditions, it's incumbent that we abide by that, and that we fulfill that. And it's not allowed to betray that. And they claim that this is disbelievers and the likes like that. From those covenants and from those contracts is what those take whenever they enter the likes of this country and other countries as well. Whenever they're allowed to have passports, or they're allowed to have visas, or they're allowed to have citizenship, whatever the case may be, there's contracts that one he would agree to, and there is conditions that he will abide by. And it's incumbent for the person to uphold those affairs, any that he makes. And it's not allowed to betray them. And it's not allowed to betray them and to act treacherously. To act treacherously. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was not treacherous. And he never betrayed his enemies. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rather, he ordered, أَدِّي الْأَمَانَةَ لِمَنِ اتَّمَنَكَ وَلَا تَخُلْ مَنْ خَانِكَ. That you fulfill the trust to those who trust you and entrust you to the affairs, meaning you preserve that and you maintain that. And you are dutiful with that. You are dutiful in that affair to the best of your ability, and you do not betray and act treacherously to those who betray you and who are treacherous. So al-khiyana is not from the attributes of a believer. That's not from the attributes of a believer. And spreading secrets is from al-khiyana. Spreading secrets is a type of al-khiyana and treachery and betrayal. Is a type of khiyana and treachery and betrayal. The author, he says, rahimahullah, an Abi Sa'idin marfu'a. An Abi Sa'idin radiallahu anhu marfu'a. It has been narrated by Abi Sa'id radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna min ashar nasi manzilatin inda Allahi yawm al-qiyamah. الرجل يفضي إلى امرأته وتفضي إليه ثم ينشر سرها. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, indeed, from the most evil of the people in rank and status with Allah on the day of resurrection is a man who will have private relations with his wife, and she will have those private relations with him, and then he will spread her secrets. So this is a great threat here. Inna min ashar an-nas, that indeed from the most evil and the most wicked, and from the worst of the people, aswa an-nas manzilatan, those who have the worst and most wicked rank and level with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the worst status, the most lowly status, the most evil status with Allah Azza wa Jal, يوم القيامة, on the day of resurrection, الرجل يفضي إلى امرأته وتفضي إليه ثم ينشر سرها. That a man, he will have private relations. He will have, he will live with her. He will live with her. And have, sexual relations with her and the likes, and have private relations with her, and likewise her with him, and then he will spread her secret. Meaning he will tell about her private affairs, and he will mention and spread the things that she does and how she acts in the bed and the likes like this, and what she says, so on and so forth, and the private affairs that occur between him and her, and intimacy, he will spread that. This person here is from the worst of the people with Allah on the day of resurrection, waliyadhu billah. So this is a secret that must be kept. And from the reason for the severity of this affair is that a man's woman, his honor is here, and his reputation is here. And a man, he will have ghirah for his family, and he will have love and respect and honor for his family, that he will never want anyone to know about her, and to know about what she says and what she does and how she moves and how she acts, especially not in that situation. So the fact that a man, he would be so lowly and he would be so despicable that he would go to the level that he would expose his own family, that he would expose his own family in these circumstances and the likes like this, this is a sign of great lowliness, and a sign that he has reached a level of despicableness that is terrible and foul. That he has not even any ghirah for his own family, that he would spread even the secrets of his own family and his own wife. Waliyadhu billah. But likewise, if the woman were to do the same, also this is khiyana and not allowed. But from this aspect, the man is mentioned here because it's from the right. It's from the right of the woman that the man, he will preserve her honor, and he will maintain her honor, and he will protect her reputation, and he will not spread her defects and her faults, especially not the likes of these affairs. as he will maintain her, and he will protect that, and he will guard that, and he will preserve her physically and financially, and likewise spiritually, as well as her honor and her reputation. Her honor and her reputation. So to spread that, for him to spread that, is a sign that he has no manhood. He has no manhood and no honor himself. But likewise, if a woman were to spread what happens between her and her husband, likewise, this is a foul manner. And this is no doubt betrayal. In the actual wording of this narration, the author in Sahih Muslim, there's taqdim wa ta'khir. It mentioned inna min ashar nasi manzilatan inda Allahi here in the text, but actually manzilatan comes after inda Allah. Yani in the text in Sahih Muslim, inna min ashar nasi inda Allahi manzilatan yawm al qiyamah. The meaning is the same, but that which has come, yani in the text of Sahih Muslim, is in this manner like this. Inna min ashar nasi inda Allahi manzilatan yawm al qiyamati arrajula. الرجل يفضي إلى امرأته وتفضي إليه ثم ينشر سرها. And then وفي رواية يعني in the Muslim, then also in one wording, إن من أعظم الأمانة. إن من أعظم الأمانة. يعني and then the end of the hadith, until the end of the hadith, that a person, he will not do that. يعني from the greatest of trusts, from the greatest of the trust, is that a man, he will do this, that he will, يعني he will preserve that, and he will not fall into this affair. So therefore, this issue here, the secret that occurs between a man and a woman in their home, especially in the bed, and their private and personal life, and their intimate life, and even the secrets of the house, likewise, it's not allowed to spread those as well. It's not allowed to spread those as well. But this is even more severe. And this is a great trust, that it must not be violated, and it must not be neglected. It must be maintained. It must be fulfilled. A person, a man, a Muslim, he must have muru'ah and honor. He must have manhood, and he must have ghira for his family, and preserve them and protect their honor likewise and those under his care, and have great concern for this affair. In any case, the point is to clarify that this is highly emphasized, and this is a major affair, that these secrets that occur between the man and his wife, it's not allowed to spread them, especially on the man's case. But likewise, the woman is included as well. The author, he says, وَعَنْ جَابِرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا إِذَا حَدَّثَ الرَّجُلُ بِالْحَدِيثَ ثُمَ الْتَفَتَ فَهِيَ أَمَانَةً فَهِيَ أَمَانَةً حَسَّنَهُ الْتِرْمِذِي حَسَّنَهُ الْتِرْمِذِي. The author, he mentioned the hadith of Jabir رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, if a man, he narrates a narration, and if a person, he speaks about something, and then he looks, ثُمَ الْتَفَتَ, then he looks to the left and the right, and he's telling somebody something. He's talking to somebody about an issue, and whenever he's speaking to them, he looks around like this. Iltafata. This is called al-tifat, to look to the left and to the right. Whenever somebody comes to you and he says, "Come here, I want to talk to you," and then he meets you face to face, and then you go like this, looking around like this. What does that indicate for us? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. That he doesn't want nobody to know what he's about to say. Even he doesn't have to say, "Don't tell nobody." The fact that he will look like this, making sure nobody's around, and then he spoke, is an indication that you know for sure that this is private information between you and him, and he is not hoping or he's not looking for anybody else to find out about that. So therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever does this, then it is a man. Whoever comes to you, if a man, he speaks about something, and then he looks to the left and to the right, checking to see if anyone is around, then that which he has mentioned is an amana. Is an amana. This is considered a secret, and it's a trust that must not be violated. How is that trust violated? By spreading it, by telling others. A believer, he will not tell the secrets of others. Rather, even before that, a believer, he will not even tell his own secrets. And it's not advised to tell one's own secrets. And in reality, the people of knowledge, they have blamed that, and they have mentioned that if a person, he cannot hold his own secret, then the people, they cannot hold it likewise. They cannot hold it likewise. And many times a person, he will tell his own secret, and then from there it will be across the world. It will be through the horizons. He will tell one person, and that person likewise will not be able to hold it. The person himself, he can't hold it in his own heart. Then he will tell somebody, thinking they can hold it in their heart. They can hold it in their heart. So this is something that a person, he should try to avoid. But sometimes there may be a benefit in informing individuals of certain private affairs, and to benefit that person. And if one were to do that, he should make sure that that person is reliable and trustworthy, and verify with them that this is something that they should not inform anyone, and the likes like this. And then if somebody hears of someone's secret and private affair, even if they did not say, do not tell anybody, but they understand that this information is private, then it's not allowed for them to spread it. It's not allowed for them to tell it. And this is something that is major. It's been mentioned that Anas radiallahu anhu, one time he left his home, and he went out for a need for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he was late whenever he came back. Whenever he came home, Sulaym radiallahu anha, his mother asked him where he was, and why he was coming home late. And Anas radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that he had to take care of something, and he ran an errand for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So she said, what is it? What is it? What was the errand that you were running from him? And he said, it was a secret. It was a secret of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did she say? La ya bunayya la tukhbiranna ahadan bi sirri rasulillah. Oh my son, do not tell anyone of the secret of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani she likewise has dignity, and she likewise has honor and honesty, and diligence to be obedient and to honor the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So whenever she learned that it was a secret, sometimes people in the situations like that, yani they would hear, oh, it's a secret. Then what was it? That would make him even more interested to learn, even more yani inquired. Oh, it's a secret. Oh, what was it? Tell me. Come on, I won't tell nobody. And the likes like this. But here, Sulaym radiallahu anha, she was not like that. She said, do not tell nobody. Do not. It's a secret. Don't inform anyone of the secret of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is the affair here. This is the affair here. So here in this narration is the benefit from this, that even if a person, he did not say, don't tell nobody, this is a secret. Yani here the narration is clear. إِذَا حَدَّثَ رَجُلُ بِالْحَدِيثِ ثُمَ الْتَفَتَ فَهِيَ أَمَانَ فَهِيَ أَمَانَ. If a man, he tells somebody something, he speaks to them about something, and he looks to the left and the right, checking around, then it's a trust. Even if he didn't say, do not tell anyone. So if he said, do not tell anyone, this is even more severe, even more clear. And likewise, even if a person, he didn't look around, but it's understood from the speech that he's mentioning, and from the information that he's saying, that this is something that he would not like others to find out about, that is private and personal, Likewise, it's not allowed to spread that. It's an amana. So then the author, he says, وَلِي أَحْمَدَ أَنْ أَبِي دَرْدَىٰ وَلِي أَحْمَدَ عَنْ أَبِي الدَّرْدَاءِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا مَنْ سَمِعَ مِنْ رَجُلٍ حَدِيثًا لَا يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ عَنْهُ فَهُوَ أَمَانَةٌ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَكْتِمْهُ. And also it's been narrated by Al-Imam Ahmad from the hadith of Abi al-Darda رضي الله عنه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, Whoever hears from a person, some speech, yani some statements, and he knows that that person would not like for it to be mentioned, then indeed it's a trust, even if he did not ask him to conceal it. And the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that the chain of this narration is weak, but the meaning is correct. And it's understood in the previous narration. And just to clarify what is included here, that even if a person did not say, do not reveal this to anyone, do not tell anyone, do not expose this affair, keep this issue a secret, even if he didn't say that, but it's apparent from the type of information and from the manner of the individual and the likes like this, that he would not like for that to be spread about him. And sometimes we can know that by putting ourselves in the same position. Would we like for that to be spread about us if it was information regarding us? For example, somebody told us something and then we didn't know, should we spread it or not? And if somebody was doubtful about that, we could think, would we, if that happened to us and occurred with regards to us and our family or in our life and our circumstance and our situation, would we like for somebody else that we did not inform to find out about it, to hear about it from other sources and the likes like this? If that's the case, then that's the case with that person likewise, and he should not spread it. It's a secret. Even if the person said, did not say, you need to keep it a secret. Likewise, what is included here, and Allah knows best, from the amana, not only the speech. Today we have other means of communication, and there's great khiyana going on in these particular means, great treachery and betrayal going on in these particular means. And I'm talking about the devices and the modern means of communication and the social media. And many times a person, he will have private conversation, private texts or private voice messages. Private text or private voice messages where he will speak about affairs that are personal and private, whether texting or sending voice messages. And then individuals who have no trust and they have no honor in this affair, they will screenshot them or they will save them and the likes like this and forward them to others. This is not allowed. The private conversations that go on between individuals and text, the private texts that go on WhatsApp, the private texts that go on iMessage and on the other platforms and the likes like this, these are private conversations. It's not allowed to spread them without the permission of that individual. It's not allowed to share them without the permission of that individual. And it becomes even more worse if the person who screenshot that affair and then sent it to somebody else had intended to rile that person against them, or intended to defame that person, or intended to blame that person, or to cause fitna and trials and the likes like that. It becomes more severe and more severe. Just the fact that a person, he took the picture and he spread it without permission, this is falling in that same realm. Because whenever a person, he's texting back and forth, this is private. This is private. He's texting an individual. They're going back and forth. This is not a public conversation. This is not a public platform, WhatsApp and iMessage and the likes like this. Especially if the information is sensitive. Especially if the information is revealing. Especially if the information regarding one's family or circumstances and the likes like that. This is not allowed. This is khiyana and betrayal. This is treachery. This is not allowed to screenshot somebody's text and send it to somebody else. Especially with a foul intention. Especially with the foul intention. Likewise, what some of the lowlifes do, and this has even been found, wallahu musta'an, like we in the previous class, amongst the students of knowledge. So if that's the case, any some of them, some of the lowly of them, any of those who ascribe to seeking knowledge, but they're still any worse than the layman, wadiyadu billah, with foul intentions. They will go into gatherings and they'll privately record. They'll have gatherings with individuals and they'll have their phones with them and they'll record the conversations. And even many of them, they will introduce subjects and topics that they are hoping for the person to slip in. And they will do it on purpose. And this is something that has been known. Even they'll do it to the extent that they'll sit in the gatherings of the people of knowledge and privately and secretly record them and then spread the information behind their back. This is something that has been witnessed and something that is known. It's not something that is he said, she said. This is something that we know. Individuals that will do the likes of this affair. Likewise, even today, somebody will call somebody to give them advice or have a private gathering in their home or private gathering with individuals and the likes like this. And an individual, he will come, the khain, the one who is a betrayer and the one who come with treachery, and he'll enter his home with his device recording. And he'll record the conversation. And then he will take it and spread it and the likes like this. This is foul. This is an evil way. This is a foul in the evil way. A person, he will never record somebody without him knowing. He would never record somebody without them knowing. Even sometime, I remember one time in the Masjid al-Nabawi, we were walking after the Dars of Sheikh Abdul Razak. And I learned from the likes of these events, alhamdulillah, Sheikh Abdul Razak, hafidhullah, he's walking. And whenever he's leaving the class, like normally in the Masjid al-Nabawi, whenever the people of knowledge, they are coming and going, there's a swarm of students around them. Literally like a hive of bees. Walking around the people of knowledge, trying to get to them to ask questions, and others just want to listen, so on and so forth, and benefit from him, from his chair all the way to his car, from his car all the way to his chair. This is something normal. But one time there was a student, we were walking with the sheikh, and there was a student, he came up, he said, "Sheikh, I want to ask a question." He said, "Tafadhal." And then the student, he had he had his phone in his hand and his recording. And then the sheikh, he stopped, and he reprimanded him. He said, "You didn't ask to record. I'm not going to answer your question. I'm not going to. It's not allowed to record. Do you have permission? Do you have permission to record my statements? Do you have permission to record my statements like this?" And he said, "No, just move out of the way." And he kept going. And he reprimanded him in this manner. Because it's one thing to ask a question, and it's another thing to record. So if a person is going to record somebody, he has to seek permission. So the people of knowledge, they'll reprimand that. And this person here, wallahu a'lam, he didn't intend any harm. He was not one of those people that was trying to betray. He had it clearly in his hand. But he just did not follow the proper manners and etiquettes. So he's reprimanded. But there are individuals, we know them, that they would do the likes of these affairs. And then they will spread that behind their backs, and they will cause fitna amongst the ranks of the students of knowledge. And likewise, there are individuals who do that today. And they do that, even some of them, with their spouses, or their family members, or their friends, or the people who trusted them, and the likes like this. This is a foul way. This is khiyana and betrayal. This is not allowed. This is a major sin. This is not allowed. This is a major sin. All of this is included here, and Allah knows best. So believers who will learn about these affairs and be reminded about these affairs and wake up to these affairs and avoid them and stay away from them. And avoid them and stay away from them. Somebody before who used to take it lightly, screenshotting people's texts and the likes like this and sending them here and there. Or even worse, sending them to the groups where numbers of people will read them and the likes like this. All of this is not allowed. All of this is not allowed. Before somebody does that, he needs to get permission. He needs to get permission. Many times it will cause great problems and dissension and enmity and falling out and the likes like this. This is not allowed. This is not allowed. Betrayal is a lowly trait, and treachery is a lowly trait. It's not from the way of a Muslim, alhamdulillah. Rather, a Muslim, he is trustworthy, he is reliable, he is honest, he is truthful, and he is dutiful with regards to the trust that he is entrusted with. May Allah make us from those righteous and good Muslims. Amen. The author, he says, Babu ma ja'a fi la'ani al-Muslim. Babu ma ja'a fi la'ani al-Muslim. The chapter with regards to what has come for about cursing a Muslim. Yani meaning with regards to the clarification of the great sin of that, and the warning with regards to that, and the danger of that affair, and the great threat with regards to that. In our previous class, the author, he mentioned the chapter in general with regards to the warning and the threat of cursing. And this is not the way of a Muslim. This is not the way of a believer. I need to wish bad for people and to supplicate against the people and the likes like this. That this is not the way of a Muslim in general. Here, this is even more specific with regards to cursing a Muslim. And we know that what is intended here, and Allah knows best, is yani the la'na of Allah, to hope for Allah to never show them mercy, or to hope that Allah will be angry with them, or to hope that they will never enter paradise. Yani to make dua for this, to make dua for this. We have seen some affairs related to this in the previous class, but now it's specific yani to a Muslim. And no doubt, any between the Muslims is supposed to be love and respect, and honor and mercy. And the bond of al-Islam is a bond of mercy. The brotherhood of al-Islam is a brotherhood of mercy. There's tarahum, and there's tawad, and there's tahab, and the likes like this. They love each other, they honor each other, they're merciful with each other, they're kind with each other, they're forgiving for each other, overlooking each other, and the likes like this. And even if they reprimand hoping good for each other, and the likes like this, and they remind and give advice, and they direct, and so on and so forth, all with a good intention for each other. This is the foundation of al-Islam, that it's a religion of mercy, and the believers, they have a bond of mercy, and love for each other, even if sometimes they don't get along, or they have disputes. In the end, those who are truthful, they love their Muslim brothers. And they'll never harbor rancor and hatred, any to the extent that they will detest them entirely. They will detest them entirely. They will not transgress the limits, any with regards to this affair. So to curse them, this is from the peak of enmity. Any to wish that, to say to them, may the anger of Allah befall so and so. May so and so be taken away from the mercy of Allah. May so and so be disgraced in the hellfire. May so-and-so never enter paradise. May Allah take his soul when he's angry with him. All of these affairs like this, a believer, he will never say that in general, like has preceded, especially not to a Muslim. This is what the chapter is about now. Especially not to a Muslim. So the author, he says, "An Thabit ibn Dhahak, radiyallahu anhu marfu'an, la'anu al-mu'mini ka-qatrihi, akhrajahu. La'anu al-mu'mini ka-qatrihi." It's narrated. The author, he says, is narrated from the hadith of Thabit ibn al-Dhahak, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, to curse a believer is like killing him. To curse a believer is like killing him. Yani the people of knowledge mentioned a number of interpretations of this. Yani the one who kills somebody, then he's taken his life and removed him. And he's not present anymore. And likewise, yani the one who has cursed someone as well, it's like he has yani whenever he said to him, لَعَنُهُ اللَّهُ يَنِي أَبْعَدَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَطَارَدَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ, may Allah cast him and take him away from the mercy of Allah. So it's as if likewise he's been lost in the anger of Allah, and he's been cast into the fury and the wrath of Allah, and the likes like this. So it has a similar resemblance here. But Allah knows best what is intended, that they're the same in the sin. كَقَتْلِهِ, يعني the sin, the one who curses a believer, and he calls for the curse of Allah to be on a believer, the severity of that is like the severity of the sin of murder. Of the sin of murder, killing a believer. Not meaning that it'll have the same, it would have the same rulings based upon that, and that there will be blood money, or that there will be a life for a life, and the likes like this, and whenever he kills him, there will be qisas, life for a life if he's taken to court, or he'll pay blood money, the diyah, and the likes like this, so on and so forth. This is not intended here, and this will not occur in the same manner, but the severity of the sin is what is intended. To clarify, the severity of the sin of cursing a Muslim, saying to him, la'anahu Allah, to saying to him directly, la'anaka Allah, like this, Allahumma al'anhu, and the likes like this, or alayhi ghadab Allah, and the likes like, aghzahu Allahu fi an-nar, like this, all of these words here, it's not allowed, it's severe. Any similar to the severity of killing a believer. And we know the dangers of killing a believer and the threats with regards to that. The threats with regards to that is from the major affairs, the anger of Allah will be upon the one who kills a believer intentionally. And the curse of Allah will be upon him, and he will abide in the hellfire as long as Allah wills. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to no doubt, to murder a believer is a major sin. And has a great punishment. But the clarification now, what it is intended, likewise, similar to that, so that no one would take it lightly, to put the curse of Allah upon him. To say these words like this, that some people, they take lightly, and it rolls off their tongue. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, to the extent that some of them, they do that to their own family, to their own Muslim family. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is a lowly way again, and there's a threat with regards to that. There's a threat with regards to that. Now, the author, this hadith here is in Bukhari and Muslim. Now the author, he says, وَلِلْ بُخَارِي عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنُّهُمْ ضَرَبُوا رَجُلًا قَدْ شَرِبَ الْخَمْرُ فَلَمَّا انْصَرَفَ قَالَ بَعْضُ الْقَوْمِ أَخْزَاكَ اللَّهُ قَالَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا تَقُولُوا هَذَا لَا تُعِينُوا عَلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And the author now, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which is collected by al-Bukhari, that there was a man who was lashed. He was lashed for drinking alcohol. And in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's an individual who was found guilty of alcohol. So therefore he was lashed. He was lashed. And then after he was brought, and after he was lashed, then one of the people who was present in the gathering, he said to him, أَخْزَاكَ اللَّهُ, أَخْزَاكَ اللَّهُ, and he, may Allah disgrace you. May Allah disgrace you. And the one who is disgraced by Allah, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, he's from the people of the hellfire. He's from the people who have the anger of Allah and are disgraced and humiliated, and they have no mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. So he made a dua against him that has the same meaning as al-la'an. It has the same meaning as al-la'an. To say like this, أَخْزَاهُ اللَّهُ أَوْ لَعَنَهُ اللَّهُ أَوْ عَلَيْهِ غَضَبُ اللَّهُ أَوْ لَا أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةِ. All of these statements here, they have a similar meaning, and those that are like that. Here particularly here, أَخْزَاكَ اللَّهُ, he said to him, may Allah disgrace you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard this. He said, do not say that. He said, do not help shaitan against him. Do not aid and help support the shaitan against him. And he may be a person, for example, he fell into this affair. But the one who has the legal punishment established against him, it's not allowed to belittle him. It's sufficient that he was punished, and the head, the Islamic legal law, was established against him. This is sufficient. It's not allowed after that to belittle him or to mock him or to put him down. Not during that or not after that. No tawbikh, no tahkir, no belittling him and the likes like this. Rather, the punishment will be established upon him, and this is a means of purification for him, and then he's left. And then he's left. So it's not allowed to belittle the sinners in general, and especially those who have the legal limits and laws established against them. And then likewise, لا تُعِينُوا عَلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ, do not help the shaytan against him. Another meaning of that is because maybe that person, yani he will sometimes, if somebody falls into sin and then you belittle them, this will cause them to retract back and to go further in sin. You say, well, if you mock him or belittle him or talk bad to him, this could push him further into what he's doing, and he could react any contrary to that in order to get back at that person like this. And it would have a bad effect. Or on another case, maybe that will not be the case, but it will cause him to have despair and to give up hope. And if somebody will say to him that he's reached this level, like, may Allah disgrace you, may the anger of Allah be upon you, may he never enter paradise like this, may he abide in the fire for eternity, and the likes like this, maybe he would hear that and then have despair. And especially if it was somebody who apparently was somebody who outwardly was righteous, and the likes like that. He heard it from somebody like this, could cause him to have despair and fall further and further into sin. So to not help the devil against him, to not help the devil against him. Yani, the people of knowledge, they mention a great benefit here. And this is because, what was the crime of this person? Drinking alcohol. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he cursed the one who drank alcohol. The Prophet himself sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he cursed the one who drank alcohol. Were there a number of them? And it's been narrated from the hadith of Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, La'an Allahu al-khamr. May the curse of Allah be on alcohol. Wa sharibaha, and the one who drinks it. Wa saqiyaha, and the one who serves it. Wa bayiaha, and the one who purchases it. And wa mubta'aha, and the one who sells it. And the one who purchases it. Wa asiraha, wa mu'tasiraha, and the one who makes it. And the one who asks for it to be made. Wa hamilaha, wal mahmulata ilayhi, and the one who carries it, it transports and transports it, and the one who is transported to. All of them are cursed. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawud Ibn Majah and Al-Musnad by Imam Ahmad himself. He mentioned the curse of Allah is upon the one who drinks alcohol. And then here, whenever the man, he got caught drinking alcohol, and he served for that, and the limits are set and prescribed for him for that and applied, and then somebody cursed him, he said, do not curse him. Why is that? In one situation, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cursed the one who drank alcohol. The man who came drinking alcohol, somebody cursed him. The Prophet did not allow that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do we understand these texts? Sahih. Ahsant. What did he say?
One took the punishment and one did. I missed the second part. Okay, the first part, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the one that drinks alcohol, is not pointing to an individual, to a jama'ah. But the second one is an individual, so he forbid to curse that person individually.
Ahsanta. Ahsantuma. Jazakumullah khairan. This is the case, the people of knowledge, they clarify here. The issue of cursing an individual specifically, this one is haram and not allowed. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade him, even though he is a person who drank alcohol. And the Prophet himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cursed the one who drinks alcohol. But that's a general curse. And it could be applied to anybody. Anybody who drinks alcohol, the curse is applied to them. But whenever it comes to a specific individual, so-and-so the son of so-and-so, or so-and-so the daughter of so-and-so, and a person by his specific person and name, it's not allowed to curse him as an individual. It's not allowed to curse him as an individual. So this is what has come. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cursed a number of people. It has cursed a number of people in general. And in general, with general descriptions. Not individuals by specifically, that has come. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was later forbade from that. But with regards to any people, individuals with certain descriptions, then this is allowed, and this is what has come. It has been narrated from Ali radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La'an Allahu man dhabaha li ghayrillah, wa la'an Allah man awa muhdithan. And he made the curse of Allah be upon the one who slaughters for other than Allah, and may the curse of Allah be upon the one who protects and takes in and gives shelter to an innovator or to the one who is a criminal. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, La'an Allahu man la'ana walidayhi, wa la'an Allahu man ghayra manar. May the curse of Allah be upon the one who curses his parents. Like this. It has come in the hadith of Jabir in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, La'ana Rasulullahi akil al-riba, ومكيله وكاتبه وشاهديه, that the messenger of Allah, he cursed the one who takes interest and the one who gives it, the one who writes it and the one who witnesses, those who witness it. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam la'ana al-wasila wal-mustawsila wal-washima wal-mustawshima. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he cursed the woman who puts hair implants and the one who asks for that, and the one who gives the tattoos and the one who asks for that. Wal-murtashi wal-murtashi, the one who gives the rishwa, which is the bribery, and the one who takes it, the one who takes the bribery, and the one who gives it. And a number of different types of people have been cursed, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed them. Yani in general, and those who have those attributes, and those who have those attributes, not an individual specifically. So this is allowed. So if somebody came and said to somebody, so and so said that you did this and did that, and it's a lie, and it's a lie. And somebody said in return, whenever he heard that, la'natullahi ala al-kathibin, may the curse of Allah be upon the liars. Is this allowed?
Yes.
This is allowed. Yes. This is permissible. He didn't. Somebody came. He found out somebody's lying on you, and you say, may the curse of Allah be upon the liars. This is allowed and permissible. As for saying, may the curse of Allah be on so and so.
No,
this is not allowed. This is not allowed. So to mention the curse upon individuals in general that have specific traits, and to curse the people that have those traits, this is allowed. And this is what has come in the Sunnah. So for someone, for example, to say, may the curse of Allah be upon the oppressors and those who work injustice. This is allowed. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ. Or you to say, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْكَاذِبِينَ. أو لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Like this, may the curse of Allah be upon the liars. May the curse of Allah be upon the wicked and disobedient and rebellious. And the likes like this is allowed. But if there is a liar specifically, and you know he's a liar, and you said, may Allah curse so-and-so the liar, now it's not allowed. If there was a fasiq specifically, a rebellious and disobedient, a foul and lowly person specifically, and you said, la'an Allahu fulan al-fasiq, so-and-so the fasiq, this one is not allowed. This one is not allowed. This is the prohibition here. We understand the difference between the two? So the specific is called la'an al-mu'ayyin. This one's not allowed. As for cursing them, people who have specific descriptions and the likes like this, then this one is allowed. But even then, a believer, he will not yani be accustomed to that. It's something that he's always saying and always doing. And if a person needed to reprimand somebody, and the likes like that, maybe he would say the likes of that. If there are people who are known for who are causing trouble and spreading lies, and the likes like this, and it reached somebody, for them to say it out loud like this so they hear him, and la'an Allahu al-kathibin, maybe they'll take the reprimand, and they'll say, a'udhu billah, a'udhu billah, astaghfirullah, like this, and they'll wake up. Or if there's people who are robbing others, or violating their rights and deceiving them and tricking them in the markets and the likes like this in business, and then they're around, somebody said, la'an Allahu al-zalimin, like this, and may Allah curse the wrongdoers and those who are oppressing others, and those who are deceiving and tricking the people in the market, may Allah curse them. Then they heard that, then they know that they're included in that. Maybe this will be a means of zajr and reprimand for them. But even then, it's not something, like I said, that a person, he's always going to be saying. And the la'an is not on the tongue of a believer, but rather, if he was going to use it in this general sense, it would still be with wisdom, and Allah knows best. The author, he says, بَابُ ذِكْرِ تَأَكُدِهِ فِي الْأَمْوَاتِ. بَابُ ذِكْرِ تَأَكُدِهِ فِي الْأَمْوَاتِ. The chapter with regards to the mention of the emphasis of this affair, and the emphasis of this prohibition with regards to the dead, with regards to the deceased. Yani to curse those who are alive, no doubt this is forbidden. And even the disbelievers and the likes, like, he would not curse the disbelievers, and so on and so forth. This is not good in the way of a believer. Especially not the believers, he will not curse the believers. And even more, he's saying, ta'akud, babu dhikri ta'akudihi fil amwat. That is even more emphasized, that he will not curse the dead and the deceased. The dead and the deceased. So the author, he says, Aisha radiallahu anha marfu'a, la tasubbu al-amwat, fa innahum qad afdaw ila ma qaddamu, rawahu al-Bukhari. The author, he mentioned the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not curse the dead. Here, ولا تسبوا, and he do not curse them, do not say bad things about them, and the likes like this. Do not curse them and say bad things about them and mention them in a bad manner, for indeed they have went forth to that which they have presented, and they have went forward, and they have reached any of their deeds and their actions, and they have now after death they have their recompense has come to them, and that which they have sent forth in their life they have met that and seen that, and they will be held accountable for that. So if it was good, it was good, and if it is bad, it was bad, and the likes like this. Even if it was a disbeliever, wouldn't necessarily curse them in the likes like this. And no doubt the one who died upon disbelief, he's mal'oon, he's cursed, waliyadu billah. But there's no need for a believer to have this on his tongue in this manner like this, to have this on his tongue in this manner like this, except if there is a wisdom and benefit from that. Except if there's a wisdom and benefit from that. It has come in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim from the Hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with his companions. فَمُرُّ بِجَنَازَةٍ فَأُثْنِيَ عَلَيْهَا خَيْرًا فَقَالَ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَجَبَتْ وَجَبَتْ وَجَبَتْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was with his companions, and a funeral procession passed by. A funeral procession passed by, and the people amongst them, any of the companions, they mentioned good about it, the individual. They mentioned good about the individual. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, it's obligatory, obligatory, obligatory. And then, ثُمَّ مُرَّ بِجَنَازَةٍ فَأُثْنِيَ عَلَيْهَا شَرَّةٍ فَقَالَ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَجَبَتْ وَجَبَتْ وَجَبَتْ. And then another funeral procession passed by them. And the people mentioned ill about that person. That another funeral procession passed by. And the companions, they mentioned ill about that person. They mentioned bad things about that person. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's obligatory, obligatory, obligatory. So later after that, Umar radiallahu anhu, he asked about that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that the believers, the righteous and truthful from them, they're the witnesses of Allah in the earth. And he said, those who are known, yani antum shuhada'ullahi fil ard. And he said, whenever the believers, they know good about a person, and all they know is good about him, and they praise him. And he, those who are honest and trustworthy, those who are known for being honest and trustworthy, because those who are known for treachery, and those who are known for deception and lies, they will only praise the people that they benefit from, and that are like them, and that are like them. But as for those who are truthful, and as for those who are honest and sincere in their faith, they will praise the people who deserve to be praised. So therefore, they'll be a witness for that. But likewise, those people who are trustworthy and truthful, whenever they blame somebody and find fault with them, likewise, they do that with justice as well, and with knowledge as well, and with wisdom as well. So therefore, it's an indication that they were upon a foul way. And what has been mentioned about this person here, that the individual, he was known to be upon a bad path, or known to be from the munafiqeen, and that was determined from the actions that he was known for, and that he died upon. So therefore, it's allowed. Yani, in this case, if a person is known for evil, and he's known for a foul way, and he's known for hypocrisy, or if he's known for innovation, and if he's known for fitna and trials and the likes like this, it's allowed to mention him in a bad manner, even after he died, in order to warn from that, as a warning from that, not as simply blaming him, or belittling him, or mocking him, or mimicking him, or the likes like this, or defaming him, but in order so the rest of the people will not be deceived by him. And so that the rest of the people will not follow him and take him as a role model, so that they'll know that he was upon a bad way, and that he was upon a foul path, and that no one should follow him or be deceived by that. So in this manner, it is allowed, and Allah knows best. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.